Manifestation by Mombi and read by Revolutionary Joe. Manifestation, noun. That's what a kiss is. The most direct way we have to make something as undefinable as love be real to us. Later, he knows. He's going to catch heck for this. Not true hell, because the person most likely to give him shit for it can't talk about it. That's why there is a this to begin with. Because Ronan is bad at words that have to do with feelings, and Adam is bad at feelings, full stop. Or rather, they think they are. That's who they've been turning themselves into separately when they're alone. Because that makes being alone feel like something that can be survived. Because words let Ronan down, and feelings get Adam into trouble. Because what do they even have to offer other people when they don't have enough to fill themselves? A lot, apparently. At least, that's how it looks from Adam's perspective. He still doesn't know what Ronan sees in him, and he doubts Ronan will ever really say, because that would involve, well, saying. But for Adam, Ronan is surety. He's reliably angry, and reliably caustic, and reliably observant. He takes all the malleable parts of himself and turns them into birds, or brothers, or cars, or hand cream. He hates the world, and in turn makes it more wondrous, filling it with things that he's broken off from his soul, filling it with his fierce, protective, defensive love almost out of spite, and at some point, Adam became a part of that. It might have been when Yancey brought Adam into the group, but he doesn't think so. He thinks Ronan's loyalty is much harder to win than Yancey's friendship, though sometimes Ronan's loyalty seems attached to Gansey's friendship, because of how important Gansey is to him. Level 1. A person works hard to be there for Gansey, and Ronan has to admit he won't let them die, because it would make Gansey sad. Level 2. A person loves Gansey as fiercely as they can, and Ronan has to admit that he won't let them die, because Gansey needs that love, as much of it as possible, needs them. Level 3. A person slips into Ronan's affections on their own merit, like pulling a pin from a grenade, and he won't let them die because suddenly it's them and him against the world, and he'd rather see the world go first, in all honesty. Level 4. Adam is lying breathless on his back in a near-empty Walmart parking lot at 4 a.m., with an overturned cart 100 feet away, and Ronan's head resting on his thigh, and somehow it really has become Adam and Ronan against the world. Level 4. Adam's no longer lonesome, and it catches him off guard that he hasn't thought about being lonely in weeks, because Ronan is always there, or always coming, or always going. Level 4. Adam's sitting up from the hard asphalt, and looking down at where Ronan's head is still in his lap, running a finger lightly over the scratch the cart left on Ronan's temple in revenge, and wiping the trickle of blood on his jeans. Level 4. Ronan looks up at him with such joy in his eyes that it overbalances the careful smirk on his lips, and Adam realizes that this is happiness in Ronan Lynch. It's physical, and destructive, and reckless, and errant, and it exists just for the sake of existing. Ronan does because he can, and in these moments he's happy because he did, because he could exact his will, because he could mark the world. Level 4. Adam leans over and watches Ronan's throat as he swallows, catalogues the way the rise and fall in his chest falters with the hitch in his breath, notices that Ronan's joy-filled eyes are glaring up at him, defiant, trying to call his bluff. Level 5. There is no bluff. It's awkward because of how far over Adam has to bend, and because he's never kissed anyone before. His lips feel floppy and kind of useless against the corner of Ronan's mouth. But then Ronan turns his head, and their lips meet like they should, and it becomes something else entirely. Adam's stomach does flips like it did when he fell off the cart. Ronan's still breathing heavy from running, and it's ghosting across Adam's cheek. Adam pulls away, because Ronan can't, and he's worried about it being too much. He sits up straight, and then leans back, cracked asphalt digging into his palms as he tilts his head to look up at the sky. It's hard to see the stars through the buzzing fluorescent lights, but the moon is still out, hanging low and heavy. When he closes his eyes, he sees stars, just a bit. Ronan doesn't say anything, because how could he? He stays in Adam's lap for a few more minutes, Once his breathing has calmed to a normal level, he sits up and scoots until he's next to Adam. He crosses his arm with Adam's as he tilts his own head back and overlaps their thumbs against the blacktop. It's perfect, Adam realizes, because of how Ronan's impulsiveness made him capable of taking that moment, and because of how his own quiet study is keeping Ronan still and giving them the time to let it settle in. Yeah, he's gonna get heck for this. Noah probably already knows. Probably knew before it happened. It would make some of the things he said make sense. Gansey's going to give them both shit for being so slow, probably. He doesn't know what Blue is going to say, but if she says it to Ronan, it will no doubt be just as antagonistic as whatever Ronan could say back. But antagonism feels lived in and right, all things considered. Antagonism has teased lesser knowledge out of Adam before, and this, he doesn't have a name for this yet. He has a hunch, but he's not sure he trusts it. He's not sure he trusts love as a concept, let alone as a thing that happens at 4 a.m. on Sunday mornings in Walmart parking lots. He tilts his head sideways and rests it on Ronan's shoulder. Ronan lets out a long, slow exhale and kicks at the loose gravel near his foot.
You want to go again?
Ronan asks. He means the cart. Adam thinks he means the cart. Yeah, Adam says, and kisses Ronan in self-defense, just so he'll leave the cart out of it.